say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you want it to be. You need another chance.
Hello everyone and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Izzo and oh man, do we have a great show for you today. I am telling you what, do what matters most is the book. His name is Rob Schallenberger. And let me tell you something. Let's just listen to the secondary title. Lead with a vision. Manage with a plan. Prioritize your time. Can any of you out there use any of that? That's my first question. Can any of you do that? The answer is yes, we all can. Right? Matter of fact, let me ask you a question that Rob's probably going to ask you, but I like to steal his thunder early on. How's your personal vision going? Ouch. That hurt, didn't it? Because you probably don't have one. And how do I know that you don't have one? Because the research that Rob and his dad, Steve, have done, right, is this. They found that less than 2% of the people actually ever have a personal vision. Actually, it's even less than that. So I know you probably don't have one. But here's the thing. You can't tell me as a CEO and owner of your business that you have a vision for your company, but yet you don't have a personal vision. How does that work? Well, thankfully, Rob's here. He's going to solve that for us. Guy's awesome. He's fantastic. Listen, before we get to him, let's do what we do every week, right? I walk you through the four areas of your life. Look, we are four-part people. We are physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual people, right? And we've had a lot of special operations forces guys on the show, and they've talked about that you have to daily be doing something to work on those four areas. Because if you know this show long enough, you know this, that we don't stay the same. We're not static. If you're not growing, you're dying, right? And so on a scale of 1 to 10, we're going to evaluate you on these four areas of what you could do to be constantly growing daily, right? And by the way, here's the deal. Just listen now. Whatever your number is, it's okay. I don't want you to panic about, gosh, my number's really low. It's all right. That's your starting point of where we can build from, okay? So let's take the physical area. Scale of 1 to 10. 1 is it's just awful. And then 10 is, man, it couldn't get any better, right? Physically. And what am I talking about? Exercise, eating right, getting enough water, getting enough sleep. If you could evaluate yourself on that scale of 1 to 10, how would you evaluate yourself? Right? Whatever the number is, it is. If you're a 3, okay, well, let's try to get to a 3.5. Maybe you could change your diet. Maybe you can drink a little more water. Maybe you can get a little more rest. Maybe you could take a little walk, right? Do something, right, to get your body moving, right? Because Newton's law, body at rest stays at rest, a body in motion stays in motion, right? Come on, let's get those bones going, all right? That's your first number, all right? Second number, mentally. My wife says don't be a mental loafer, right? Because what we often do is we sit on a couch and we just let stuff come at us and we do not do anything active to really participate in our mental growth, right? In our knowledge, in our wisdom, and in our job, in our competence, in our ability to be a better parent, better father, mother, whatever it is, friend, right? We can grow in a variety of ways. I have a coaching client, and you know, one of the ways she's growing is she wants to grow herself mentally is she's taking up sign language. And so we speak awesome. In sign language, right? And it's really cool, right? Because it's helping me grow in a way. Because here's the thing. You have two halves of the brain. You have a right side and a left side. One's more creative. The other side is a little bit more logical, right? You need to exercise both halves of that brain. Reading a book is awesome to do that. This is a good book to read. I'm just saying, okay? All right, so what's your number mentally? Two numbers, right? How about emotionally? We evaluate you emotionally on two scales. One is personally, how well are you able to control your emotions under stress and pressure? Right? Right. How do you act when people cut you off in traffic? How about when you have to wait in a long line at the store? Right? How well are you able to control your emotions under stress and pressure? We're under a lot of pressure and stress, folks. There's a pandemic going on, in case you haven't been aware of it. How well are you able to control your emotions? And then the second part of the emotional piece is how well are you able to tap into and understand the emotions of other people? That's a two-part skill. It's listening is one, right? But the other part of it is really understanding what those emotions are, which means that you may have to enlarge your emotional vocabulary. So on a scale of 1 to 10, if you put those two things together, how would you say you're doing? So you got three numbers. And then finally, there's the spiritual. And I know a lot of you out there will say, well, I'm not really spiritual, but we all are spiritual. If you remove the physical, the mental, and the emotional, guess what you have? You have left is the spiritual. We all have faith. We all believe that in things that have not happened yet. It could be something as simple as you're taking a trip somewhere, but it hasn't happened. That's faith. You have hope. That's faith. There is something that brings you back to center in the midst of chaos. What is that? Is that God? Is it meditation? Is it nature? What is it? And then you have to ask yourself a question, is it working? And then what do I got to do to change it? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how's the spiritual part going? Right? You got to think of those as like the legs of a chair. If any of those four legs are uneven, guess what happens? It's bad posture. It means that you're not growing solid in a way that's healthy. By the same token, if those legs are too low, what happens is you can't eat at a table and eat nutritiously of life. And that's what we want to do. And speaking of someone who's got his legs all at the same height and somebody who is eating well, his name is Rob Schellenberger. He's one of the world's leading authorities on high performance and productivity. He has coached and trained hundreds of groups around the world, including many Fortune 500 companies and even presidents of countries. After spending 2 years of service in Bolivia, he attended Utah State University with a degree in marketing. And he went on to earn an MBA from Colorado State University. He served as an F-16 fighter pilot in the Air Force for 11 years. Thank you very much. And during that time, also worked as an advanced agent for Air Force One, traveling the world and coordinating with foreign embassies and Secret Service. He's the CEO of Becoming Your Best Global Leadership. Rob is the author of 4 books, and his company, of course, one of the best-selling books is The 12 Principles of Highly Successful Leaders, and Start with the Vision, and then, of course, this book here, Do What Matters Most, Lead with a Vision, Manage with a Plan, and Prioritize Your Time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show and welcome to A New Direction, Rob Schellenberger. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, thank you so much, Jay. It's an honor to be here. It really is. I mean, I love your energy. And to everybody who's out there, thank you for making a few minutes in your day. It says a lot about you, your character, your leadership, that you're willing to invest in yourself. So I'm excited. Let's have a great conversation here, Jay.
I love it. So let's just jump right into the book here. The Big Three, because we're going to talk about the Big Three throughout the show, right? So let's talk to people about what the Big Three are, and then we'll get into the specifics later. But let's talk about what the Big Three are, and then why these three things are really so important.
Yeah, okay. So let me see if I can do this in about a 3 or 4 minute answer.
You don't have to. You can take as long as you want. Go ahead.
So we've had the chance to meet with and train hundreds of organizations, like you mentioned, Jay. And one thing that was very apparent in doing this through the years is people are being asked to do more with less. I mean, if you're leading a company right now, you know how many demands there are on your time. And it was very apparent with my fighter pilot background that when it came to time management and productivity, there's something missing out there. And so we started this formal research that we now call our Do What Matters Most research. And we wanted to find out, you know, you hear about goals and vision and weekly planning. You hear those terms all the time. Well, how often were they really being done? How many people had a process? This is what we wanted to find out. So we looked at, you know, behind the curtains in 108 different organizations and surveyed many of their managers. And this was fascinating to me, Jay. 68% of people felt like prioritizing their time was their number one challenge. Hmm. And yet 80% of people did not have a process beyond sticky notes and to-do lists. And so clearly there's a need. And, you know, as a fighter pilot, there's a term called task saturation. You, of course, read about it in the book. And it's when there's so much going on in the cockpit that you can no longer keep up with all of it.
Right.
And unfortunately, I know personally people who have died because they were task saturated and then misprioritized. In other words, their attention is down in the radar and they forgot that they were pointed at the ground and they hit the ground going 600 miles an hour. And you say, well, how is that possible in the jet? Well, how is it possible in our lives? Because so many of us have actually experienced that, right? Task saturation, where you're trying to be a parent and you're trying to be a spouse and you're trying to take care of yourself in those four areas that you just outlined, Jay, and you're trying to run a business. And how do you balance and juggle all of these competing priorities? And so we developed, Jay, what you call the Big Three. And these are high performance habits that anyone can develop and work on. And they are, number one, to develop a written personal vision. And once you have a vision, number two is to set what we call roles and goals. And number three, what I consider to be the most important habit is pre-week planning. And that's what takes it down to the daily and weekly level. And while these are terms that, like we've talked about, you know, we've heard all the time, we're presenting these in Do What Matters Most in a unique way that I've never seen them presented anywhere else in the world. And that is to look at your life through the lens of the 5 to 7 roles that matter most to you. So it could be sales rep, you know, it could be manager, CEO. And then there's the other side of the coin, right? There's our personal role. There's husband or wife. There's father or mother. There's friend, coach. What are the 5 to 7 roles that matter most for you? And it's going through each of those habits through the lens of your roles. So developing a written personal vision for each role. 1 to 4 specific goals for this year in each role. And then prioritizing your time each week by looking at that lens of your roles and what matters most this week in each of your roles in alignment with your vision and your goals. And there's the power to it. So there's a brief background of the high, you know, the big three. Can I just share with you, Jay, a very personal story as to why these are so important?
Absolutely.
And you read this at the very end of the book about my mother. And you ask, well, why are these so important right now? And you know, it's funny, I just came from lunch with someone where we were talking about how fragile life is, how we each have a finite amount of time. And so think about your own life. Maybe some of you are 45, maybe you're 60, maybe you're just getting going and you're 16. You know, and hats off to you, young entrepreneur. Wherever you're at in life, how fast is the time going by in your life? And 10 years ago, it's been 11 years actually now, my mom was 55 years old. She was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. Tragic diagnosis. That changed everything about my parents' future. You know, there's golden years are no longer golden at that point. And we watched my angel mother, who people loved. She would take the shirt off her back to serve and help others. Everyone loved my mom. We watched her decline over the course of 10 years to the point where she didn't remember who we were. And 9 months ago at age 65, she passed away. And that was actually a freeing, you know, liberating her from her body. And we were so grateful that she was finally able to be free of that. But we had the task, my brothers and my sister, of taking care of all of her stuff. We didn't want my dad to have to go through that burden. And so we were all in her closet and we're going through her dresses and her jewelry, you know, her necklaces and just all of her stuff. And I had this epiphany, Jay, and we all know it, but it was different when I experienced it. And that was, I'm standing there in her closet and I realized she's not taking any of that stuff with her. Mm. There's no car that went with her. Her favorite dress didn't go with her. Even her favorite earrings that she got in Spain didn't go with her. Nothing went with her other than two things: who she had become over the course of her life, her, the things that she had done, and the people that she had touched. In other words, the relationships that she had formed with others. That's it. That's all she took with her. And for me, that epiphany became very real. And that's why that's the whole essence of Do What Matters Most, is that tomorrow is not guaranteed for any one of us. Procrastination can be the thief of joy and is the enemy of the Do What Matters Most mindset. And so Do What Matters Most, when we apply these three habits, forces us to look in the mirror through these different roles and in a very exciting, invigorating way, asks each one of us to identify what matters most truly in our life and actually start prioritizing and do those things so that it no longer just sits in the back of our mind in the world of good intentions.
That's awesome. His name's Rob Schallenberger. The book is called Do What Matters Most, and he's here on A New Direction. Rob, you, by the way, beautiful, beautifully done. One of the things you write in the introduction is what to expect, and I'm going to say something that you write in the book, and I want you to kind of bounce back with me. Oh, yeah, this is true, okay? You say in What to Expect, you say, your productivity will increase by 30 to 50%, and you will have one of the best years ever. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, it is a strong promise. That's exactly right. That's why we invite people to read the book, test the power of the habits, and see if what we just said is true. And it is a strong statement. And I would say this, you know, in the introduction, right by that paragraph that you're just citing there, there's a phrase that we use that says you will either lead a life by design or you will live a life by default. It's so easy to live a life by default. That's the easy path. It's not the rewarding path. It's the easy path. And the rewarding path is to lead a life by design and really focus on and do those things that matter most. And I'll tell you this, Jay, one of the things that we made an observation of in our research is that most people want this. We acknowledge internally, like, yeah, I want that. I want better relationships. I want better help. I want more money.
Right.
And most people just want a process. Show me how to do it.
Right.
And so that's what the habits are really for, is to take someone through, and you've gone through this. I love that you actually did it. You know, we're not just having a podcast. Before we started, you're like, hey, I did all this.
I did all of it, yeah.
that hardly ever happens. It says a lot about you, Jay. And that's where the power is at. The power is in when someone actually does it. Like, they're consistent with the habit of pre-week planning each week. And let me make that a little bit more, let me take your quote a step further there. So yes, productivity will go up by at least 30 to 50%. Well, what does that really mean? It means that a person who starts incorporating these habits will accomplish this year 800 to 1,000 additional things that otherwise wouldn't have happened. And we need to define things, because things doesn't mean anything. There's no emotional connection to things. But when we talk about a date night with your son or daughter, when we talk about writing a note to your husband or your wife, you know, calling an important client on their birthday to wish them happy birthday, getting that sales order out the door on time or ahead of schedule, these little things become huge things over the course of time. And this becomes what shape our character and define our legacy. And so you ask, is it really life changing? Is it a bold statement? It absolutely is a bold statement. And I've seen it happen for thousands of people. And I've never had a single person, Jay, come back and say, yeah, these habits didn't really work. Because how could they not? When you develop a vision by role, set your roles and goals, and then every week doing pre-week planning, saying what matters most in that role this week and when will I do it?
Right.
Yeah. It's life-changing for those who do it. And so, yeah, it is a powerful statement, and it's even more powerful when people are able to experience it.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going to, on the notes, the show notes that are associated with this show, which is a blog post at jayhizzo.com, and you can find it in the show. I've put all the free assessments, the free sheets that they have at becomingyourbest.com. By the way, if you're interested in taking the assessment on where you're at, it's bybassessment.com. That's bybassessment.com. And you can take the assessment and see where you're at and where you need to work on. I did it, and I got to tell you, it was a great exercise for me. I've got to work on a little bit more. I got to be honest with you. I got some work to do there, but I'm going to continue to work on it. Chapter one, Rob, is entitled "The Do What Matters Most Mindset and Skill Set," and you already alluded to task saturation. And let's talk about the mindset and the skill set, because these are two things when it comes to doing what matters most. But it starts with a mindset. So let's talk about how do we get to this mindset, because there are some. You make it real clear that there are some. There's four enemies of this, and I actually fell into the third category when I first started the book. Beyond just complete total honesty. So do you want me to just shout them out to you and you just respond to them, or do you want to just go?
Yeah. Well, why don't you shout them out, and then I'll come back and we can elaborate and build on that.
All right. So the first enemy is reacting to the fire of the day, which is the symptom of task saturation. Why is that an enemy of the mindset?
Well, and actually, let me back up a little bit further, Jay. Is that all right?
Yeah, please.
Since we're talking about the mindset, you know, do what matters most, like you said, is a mindset, and it's a skill set. And right. You know, if there was 100 of us in the room and I was to ask which is more important, the mindset or the skill set, 99 out of 100 would say the mindset. And I would agree wholeheartedly. And the reason why is because this: how many times in our lives has there been a skill set right in front of us, or it's been available to us, but we haven't applied it? And I think we all have experienced that, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
And we know the right answer, but we're not doing it.
Right.
And so that's why the mindset is the starting point. It's the right place to start. And the mindset really is encapsulated in one of my favorite quotes that goes, good, better, best, never let it rest, till the good is better and the better is best. In other words, it doesn't matter where our starting point is today. We might be in a good place. We might be in a great place. Now the question is, are we going to sit there and be complacent and comfortable and say, well, that's good enough? Or are we going to start asking ourselves, how can I be even better? How can I be even a better dad or a better husband? Or how could I even be a better CEO or manager? And as soon as we ask those questions sincerely, then the skill set becomes powerful. But if we're not even willing to ask those questions, the skill set isn't going to help at all.
Right.
And so that's why it starts with the mindset. And now, as you referenced the enemies of the mindset, yeah, task saturation is one of those, right? Because if we don't have a process, and it's why the habits are so important, pre-week planning is a process. It combats task saturation. So our choice is, what do we do when we recognize task saturation? In the fighter pilot world, we actually go through training to recognize it, because it is a killer. Mm. And the hairs on the back of our neck stand up. Have I been looking at the radar too long?
Right.
Ooh. Oh, what else is going on? And so the first thing you need to do is recognize, how task saturated are you?
Right, right,
and when
right.
You are, then it comes back to your vision, your goals, and your pre-week planning, your priorities, and not being a victim of the things that matter least and letting the things that matter most suffer.
Love that. Love that. Okay. Second one, enemy, you've kind of already alluded to it too. Complacency.
Yeah. Complacency is the silent killer. It's so insidious. It can just creep into any culture, into any life. And it's very easy to get complacent when things are going well. Mm. And that's why I would suggest that comfort is one of the greatest hindrances to forward progress. I mean, for those watching this and listening, if you're in a sales position or if you're starting a business, man, your first year, you're in the grind, like you're cranking it out, you know, you're in. Well, what happens after year three and four when now you've passed that threshold and things are going pretty well? It's easy to settle into this lull of complacency. And in the fighter pilot world, you know, you heard me mention the term complacency kills. There are several times where I almost died as a fighter pilot when I was complacent. I mean, we went through a formation one time. My wingman was flying a mile line abreast of me. We were flying a low level, 500 feet, 500 knots, and you think, well, that's not the time to get complacent. Well, after 45 minutes on the low level, you know, everything went as planned. It was going pretty well, nothing to think about. And, you know, you just kind of sit back and get a little more relaxed than you should. And there's a Cessna that neither of us saw on our radar, and we split it right down the middle of our formation. And literally, we're a couple hundred feet away from having a midair collision with that Cessna. The pilot would even never even known what hit him, and we may or may not have survived that. And the same can happen in our lives. When we get complacent or comfortable, that's when the hairs on the back of our neck should start to stand up.
Love that. His name is Rob Schallenberger. The book is entitled Do What Matters Most. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, listen, I have two great sponsors here on A New Direction. One is Epic Physical Therapy. Listen, they're my physical therapists, and I love them. I really, really do. Listen, whether you're recovering from an injury or surgery or suffering from everyday aches and pains, maybe you're a professional athlete that is just having a little problems, you know, with your sport. Listen, here's the deal. The elite team at Epic Physical Therapy will provide you with a customized treatment program tailored to your individual needs. They really do rehab professional athletes, so they know what it takes, and they understand that they need to treat your body as a functional whole, not just your symptoms or your injury. So when you're ready for your epic relief, you're ready for your epic recovery, when you're ready for epic results, start with EpicPT.com. That's E-P. ICPT.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors, for over 35 years, they've been helping people all over the world sell their home or buy their next home. And they do that because Linda understood from day one back in 1985, which, by the way, her first customers come and see her, that it is all about the relationship. And so she's created relationships with the best professionals all over the world, and she continues to train her team. She has a process that she has done for 35 years to stay at the top of the real estate game. So listen, when you want to go with the legend of customer service, I didn't say that. She didn't say that. That's what her clients say. Why not go with Linda Kraft at Team Realtors? You can look her up at lindacraft.com. That's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Rob Schallenberger and the book, Do What Matters Most. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're not paying attention, we just broke up. We just broke up a little bit of this. It was kind of a teaser, right? You know, the enemies of the Do What Matters Most mindset. And we just got finished with complacency, and we talked about task saturation, complacency. So we're going to jump to number three. Number three is the cynic and the skeptic. And this is the one, Rob, going to be honest. This is the one I went, okay, Rob, yeah, right. Okay, I did that. I honestly did. I did come out of the chute. I got to be honest.
This is the most powerful one. We all experience this. And Jay, it's actually a healthy emotion, because you know, how many ads, how many sales things do we hear or see throughout the day on billboards, Internet, Facebook, all these different places? We're bombarded. Yeah. And this cynic, the skeptic within each one of us, is that it's actually a defensive barrier. It's an emotion that protects us. It's a filter. And so it's very healthy to have that, and we all have it. The challenge is, because we've been so bombarded, the cynic and that skeptic has grown within us to where it can become a really powerful voice. And it actually filters out things that can have a big impact in our lives.
Right.
So what we invite people to do is acknowledge that, hey, maybe you're feeling a little cynical. Maybe you're feeling a little skeptical about those promises. Great. I'm going to actually call that a healthy emotion and say, I hope you are. I hope you're skeptical enough that you're going to not take our word for it, but that you'll apply the habits yourselves.
Yeah.
In other words, don't just take our word for it. Go through the book, you test it, and see if everything we've said is true or not true. And so the skeptic can either be healthy or it can be really hurtful, depending on what we do with the skeptic.
Yeah, listen, I can be a little skeptical. I read a book a week for the show. So, I read it with what I like to think is healthy skepticism is what I like to think it is. But here's the thing that I found is like I go, okay, well then, because I'm kind of this way. This is the maverick in me. All right, Rob. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do it just to see if you're right. Okay. Okay. And I really found it to be a great exercise. So, I mean, it really was the cynic, the skeptic in me went ahead and did it, because I believe in embracing discomfort, and so I did it. And actually, it is a really good exercise and it was really healthy. And I'm still working out my goals, between now and the end of the year. And, because, pandemic changed things. And so we'll talk about that when we get there. But, it really was healthy for me to take a look at, my personal vision, my vision in my different roles. And I did have to wrap my mind around a different mindset. I understood that. And so, and then you have to do it, you have to do this. Too, and we'll talk about how we do that. But let's go to the fourth one, because the fourth one is the killer you've talked about a little bit, and that's procrastination. Procrastination is a killer, isn't it?
Yeah, we just talked about skepticism and cynicism can be healthy. I'm one of the greatest skeptics and cynics. I'm pretty, with that fighter pilot eye, I'm pretty healthy in a critical, healthy way. I'll look at things in detail and say, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. So I can relate to you totally, Jay. The other one, though, on the hand, so say number four again, because I want to put it in context. I want to come right to number four so everyone can hear it again.
Procrastination.
Yeah, so I want to come right back to procrastination now and leave number three there. Procrastination, on the other hand, is not healthy in any form.
Right.
I don't believe procrastination is healthy in any way. And my mom always had a little sign up around our house, and it was this: handle it once. Wow. In other words, don't set a dish in the sink and say, I'll come back and do it later.
Right.
And I'm not perfect at that. None of us are.
Right.
But here's the intent. How many times have we heard good things or thoughts or ideas and we say, oh, that sounds really good, I'll do it later. And procrastination can be one of the thieves of joy and success. How many people are listening to this right now and they say, oh, Do What Matters Most. That sounds like a cool book. Maybe it might work. Maybe I should read it someday.
Right.
Well, what's the chances that person's going to read it? Probably almost zero. Versus, I guarantee you, there are some people on this right now who have already gone to Amazon and they've ordered the book. They're committed to reading it.
I guarantee you.
And those are the kind of people we're talking about. So anybody can do this, but procrastination is one of the thieves of joy. Like, for example, when someone gives me a book recommendation, I'm as susceptible as anybody to procrastination. So I will immediately go to Amazon while I'm talking, like right there, I'll say, hold on just a second. I'll order it. Buy now and it's done. They'll be like, what did you just do? I just ordered the book you recommended.
Right.
Really? Because I don't want to risk not ordering it if it was important enough for them to share it with me.
Right.
And so, I shared the story about my mom. Tomorrow's not guaranteed for any one of us. If it's our health, if it's an important conversation, if it's a date night with your son or daughter, if it's something important in work, let's not procrastinate tomorrow something that can be done today that we wish we would have done.
Yeah, I just love that. I think it's really important that we really recognize these four pieces that can be killers for us. And you're right. You know what? Complacency is a killer. Procrastination is a killer. Task saturation is a killer. And of course, cynicism is. And I understand that it can be healthy. But you also have to work through that, your own cynicism. I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit. And because I want to talk about these two things. Actually, I'm going to jump chapter two, which is entitled Why Doing What Matters Most Matters. Sorry. And you make a really huge distinction between productivity and performance, which I think is a really big distinction. Would you like to go ahead and just explain to people why productivity and performance? Because we have a tendency to define them exactly the same, but that's not really the truth, is it?
No. And, this is one of those sections I actually debated not keeping in the book because I didn't want people to get distracted from the three habits.
Right.
but we left it. And we'll see if I leave it in version two or not. The whole point there is that it's both about, it's about performance and productivity. In other words, it is about quantity and it is about quality.
Right.
Let me just use a couple of examples from the book, one from the book and one I'll make up here on the spot. In the book, we use someone who's training for a marathon who's never run a marathon. You know, they have a goal to run a marathon the next time by September 1st. That's a great goal. It's a great thought process. Obviously, they're going to be healthier, feel invigorated, be exercising. But let's look at both of those, performance and productivity. It's both about quantity and quality of exercise. In other words, if they went out and had one great run a week, that's not going to be enough to get a first-time marathon runner ready to run a marathon.
Right.
At the same time, if they go out and run 4 days a week or 5 days a week, but they're low quality runs, that equally is not going to get them there. So they need to be thinking about how often will they be training and what is, you know, for a sales team, it's quantity and quality. In other words, it's close rate. Close rate's important, as are the number of closes. And that's what overall comes out to be productivity, if you want to call it that. But productivity, an easy way to think about that is quantity. Performance is quality, if you want to think about it that way, close rate, something like that. Here's one more example. If you have kids out there and you're listening to this and you have children, is it enough to have one good quality night in a month with your son or daughter? Would that work long term? Not if I was your son or daughter. I would want more time with you than one night a month. You know that you're my dad or my mom. At the same time, if I spent every night with you, but every single time I'm with you, I'm on my phone looking at my phone, does that really work either? No. And so it's about quantity of time with your children, but it's also about quality, productivity, performance. So I hope those analogies at least paint that picture that it really is two separate things that are very much tied together.
They are. And I'm really glad that you made a distinction, because I think people need to hear that. And then, you know, you start quoting a number of statistics here. I'm going to just share a few that I thought were interesting to me, especially related to the people who were listed to the show. And I know that there's people who can relate to this. You talk about the 34% of U.S. workers are actually actively engaged, which means that 66% probably are not. And you, from a sample of 4,300 employees, you said 74% felt that they weren't achieving their full potential at work due to a lack of development opportunities. 53% of employees give minimum effort. Here's something, though, that I found shocking. Less than 10% of employees feel competent setting clear goals and developing a plan. And this one was huge to me, because I coach a lot of people. And as I coach people and we talk about goal setting regularly, you know, what's interesting is I started to recognize, you know what, the truth is they really do not feel competent at setting goals. And that one really hit me. And then you got to the 2% of executives and managers have a personal vision. 84% of people feel like they would be significantly more productive if they had a process. But then you give us this what matters most matrix, which is based on the Eisenhower matrix. And I think it would be really interesting for people to kind of, if you could kind of visually, not visually, but verbally, maybe walk people through the Eisenhower matrix.
Yeah. So rightfully so, it's originally developed by Dwight D. Eisenhower. We give him the credit. We now then refer to it as the Do What Matters Most matrix because we've made a few adjustments to his original version, but we give him the credit where credit is due. And so as you look at this matrix, there's two lenses with which to look at this matrix. And this is why it's really important to read the book, because listening, it will get us started, but you really need to be able to see the matrix to assess yourself.
Yep.
And there's a personal lens with which to look through this, and there's a professional lens, like your team, your organization. If you're leading a sales team, where are they spending the bulk of their time? And I can tell you, based on the percentage of your answer, how productive and successful they are. And so the Do What Matters Most matrix has a huge impact, personally and professionally. So imagine in your mind four quadrants. I'll try to do this as visually as I can, even though we don't have it here in front of us. Actually, Jay, do you have it on your book where you could flip open to it while I'm talking?
Sure, I could do that. Yeah, absolutely. I got it right here.
We need to hold it up to the camera so they can get a sense or an idea of what we're talking about.
I have it right here.
There you go. So there's the quadrant. You can see four quadrants right there. Perfect. Awesome. Thanks, Jay. Quadrant one are things that are important and urgent. In other words, they demand our attention right now. It's like the do it quadrant. High stress, high priority. You know, if your website goes down, boom, you've got to deal with that. there will always be things that are Q1 that come up during the week. We want that to be the exception and not the norm. And I would hope everyone hears this really carefully. If we as leaders are living in Q1 where we personally are putting out the fires of the day all the time, by de facto, that will trickle down to our team and they'll be in Q1 as well, which caps productivity to be mediocre at best. Quadrant 2, as you can see on the screen, are things that are not urgent but still important. So this is the focus quadrant. This is where we want to focus our time and energy, is in quadrant 2. It's an exciting place to be. Low turnover, high morale, high productivity. This is the ideal quadrant. It's low stress, it's exciting. And this is what pre-week planning, roles and goals, and having a written personal vision and a team vision and strategic planning and all of those things will do, is move us to quadrant 2. So do what matters most is all about moving ourselves to quadrant 2. So we will always be in the top half. That's where we want to live. The bottom half we want to eliminate. So Q3 are things that are not important, but they feel urgent. But how many times have you ever sat through a meeting or worked on a report and you say to yourself, why are we even doing this? That's Q3. And you want to manage those things by either automating them, eliminating them, or delegating them. You know, get rid of them as much as possible. And then Q4 are things that are not important, not urgent. You want to get rid of these in our lives. They don't move us forward in any way. I just worked with the team. That was awesome, Jay. You can bring it down now. That was perfect. Thank you, Jay, for holding that up.
You're welcome.
That was awesome. I just worked with an organization 2 weeks ago, 62 managers, and they went through in the beginning of the training this do what matters most analysis of the matrix to identify where they were personally and where they spent their time, percent by quadrant, and where their team and organization was. And there was a lady who made an observation. I thought this was fascinating. She said, Rob, this was during a break. I'm in Q1 almost all day throughout work. And she's a manager of her team. And she acknowledged, she said, because of my own lack of organization, I realized I'm putting my team in Q1 all day long as well, which is probably very frustrating for them. She's exactly right. And she said, because I'm in Q1 all day long, it mentally just drains me. This is her comment. So that by the time she goes home, is all she wanted to do was just go right to Q4. In other words, just throw on the TV and just sit there for like 4 hours and ignore everything else in her life. And I thought, that's a really interesting connect. I had never thought about that way. If you're at Q1 all day at work, it's very easy just to go home and be Q4.
Yeah.
Unless we have these three habits in place in our life. We have a vision, roles and goals, and we're consistent with pre-week planning. Because then we can identify what are the Q2 things in our life that matter most, at work and at home. We can distinguish the two, and we're taking care of those relationships. You know, we're taking care of scheduling a date night with our son or daughter, becoming very intentional, or going out and doing the exercise rather than just thinking about it. And you're making time for your priorities rather than just waiting for those kind of things to happen, and that's when Q4 tends to take over. So that's the Do What Matters Most matrix. I invite you, when you're reading it, to assess yourself and assess your team and your organization and rate by percentage where you're spending your time in each quadrant. And once you're aware of that, then the big three become very powerful in helping us make the move to Q2 and think Q2.
Love that. Rob Schallenberger is joining us, co-authored book, Do What Matters Most. We're moving into chapter 4, how to develop a personal vision. So let's talk about the personal vision, because this is one of the first step of the big three. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about, how do we go about doing this? Because, you know, I think when we start talking about, first of all, we start talking about visions and we start talking about a personal vision, I don't know that we make a connection. I think we have a vision for our business. I think the people have a vision for maybe what they do in their careers, but I don't know, and not very many, but I don't think people think about having a personal vision. So let's talk through that, and then let's talk about how we go about doing that.
Yeah, and you know, this is where it's really not most people's fault. It's just something we haven't learned about. You know, it's the other side of the equation. We talked a lot about mindset. This is the skill set. And, you know, this has taken us years to develop. And I wouldn't have known how to do this, you know, other than having gone through the process and done it myself. So this is why it's a skill set piece of the equation, which we can learn and apply. And anyone can do it who would like to, has that mindset. So let me think where to start. This is why, though, it's also important to read the book, right, Jay, chapters 3 and 4,
because yeah,
there's so much more how-to in it. What yeah. we're really doing with the vision is creating the mental reality prior to the physical reality. In other words, look at your different roles and use the words I am rather than someday I want to. And the vision is very different than a goal. The vision is like, what's the very best version of yourself that you could describe? What's your end destination? There's an emotion, there's a feeling to it. It's like an internal compass that gives you direction. It's meaningful. The goals, on the other hand, are very specific milestones towards making the vision a reality. You know, they're measurable. SMART is the term that has been popularly used. So we've got to first identify the destination. You know, as a fighter pilot, if a fighter pilot takes off without a destination, where will they end up? Who knows, right? And so it's first identifying what your vision looks like in each role. So for example, if you're a sales manager or a CEO or a COO or whatever your title is, what does the very best version of you look like that? You know, Jay, you mentioned that only 1 in 3 team members are engaged. What does an engaged person in your title look like? Why are you getting up in the morning? And what does someone who's transformational look like in that position? Because why not be that kind of person? It's so much more enjoyable when we can show up and do that. Well, how about as a spouse and a parent? What is your vision in that role? And I can tell you, for me, it becomes an internal compass. It becomes a guide for me. And we're either in alignment or out of alignment with it. And so, for example, my actual vision in the role of husband is that I'm a kind and caring husband who always helps Tanya feel like a 10. I'm totally faithful in thought and action, and I constantly strive to compliment her, serve her, and be the husband of her dreams.
Beautiful.
Now, is that how it goes in our house every day? No.
I guess we'll have to ask Tanya about that, actually.
Yeah, you have to ask Tanya about that. That's right. But I think we know when we're in alignment and we're out of alignment with it. And that's the whole idea is, here's what's powerful about the vision. It allows us to look forward into the future while still maximizing and being present for the now.
Beautiful.
And so we can still be present. We can still live our best versions of ourselves right now and get back in alignment if we're not, while at the same time keeping an eye to the future towards what our vision looks like and the very best version of ourselves in each of those roles. And there's such a power that will flow when we go through those questions that you find in chapters 3 and 4 that are preparatory to ask prior to working on your vision.
Love it. His name's Rob Schallenberger. Book's entitled, you know what? Do what matters most, right? Lead with a vision, manage with a plan, and prioritize your time. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, everyone, listen, Epic Physical Therapy. I talk about them all the time. I talk about them every week. Why? Because I love them. And besides that, they do sponsor the show, which I'm really grateful for, too. And you should be, too, by the way. Reach out. Say, hey, thanks for sponsoring A New Direction. Listen, the Epic Physical Therapy facilities, they offer the most advanced top-of-the-line equipment, including the Alter-G Anti-Gravity Treadmill, Normatec Compression Sleeves, Game Ready, my favorite, to name a few. They're also trained and certified in the most comprehensive, cutting-edge treatments available, like blood flow restriction therapy, dry needling, cupping, you know, and more, right? Here's the deal. Look, if you're ready for your Epic relief, your Epic recovery, and your Epic results, don't look any further. Whether you are just an everyday person like me, or whether you're a professional athlete, go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. Listen, she has a team of experts. They're not, these are experts. These are people who know their business. But beyond their expertise, they're also relationship people. They really do understand that P&Ls are not about profits and losses. They're about people and lives. And that is how they go about doing their business. Because they understand that your home is filled with memories, and whether you're going to buy one that's going to, you're going to create new memories, or whether it's a home that you're selling that is filled with a history of memories. And they understand how important that is to you, and they want to demonstrate to you that it is just as important to them. So when you're ready to sell your home or buy your home, start with Linda Kraft at Team Realtors. You can learn more by going to lindacraft.com. That's lindacraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Rob Schallenberger and Do What Matters Most. And we're talking about vision here and in the show. And Rob, I want to talk a little bit through vision because I think one of the things you talk a little bit about, I'm going to stay here a little bit longer before we move on. Because I think it's really important that people understand that you have to have a vision for each role that you are in. There's not one. You know, when I was doing this exercise, you know, and I was going through that, you know, I'm a podcaster, you know, I'm a coach, I'm a husband, my children are older, but I'm still a dad. You know, I'm a speaker, you know, like you, we're both, you know, national speakers, NSA speakers, in fact. So hire Rob to speak, even virtually hire him, you know, if they're not doing conferences, it's really, you can tell he's really great, right? And, you know, so those are roles that I play. And I, you know, as I was, you know, I'm still, you know, working out the finalizations because I'm still in draft mode. But as I'm drafting out my vision for each of these things, and then I had to do my role for Jay. You know, who am I? What do I want to do? Right? Which was actually harder for me. It was actually easier to go through all the roles except for me. That was hard. Do you find that to be true of most people when they're doing their vision?
I think so. You know, it's funny because when you ask people what this was like in a group setting, you'll get people who say, man, I'm so excited. It was so invigorating. It was freeing. And you'll always get people who also say, you know, it was challenging. It was difficult. And shouldn't it be all of those things? Shouldn't it be a little challenging? Because we're talking about our vision.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's invigorating. It's stimulating. And you're right. You know, most of those other roles are outward. Right. That personal role, Jay, is inward.
Yeah.
And that can be a very introspective process that can be challenging. But man, once you've got it, it's so powerful. Because then our goals and our pre-week planning and everything else is really in the context of our vision.
Yeah, it
can really evoke a wide array of emotions going through the process. And it's like, you know, Jay, some people say, well, you know, I'm not going to change the world. And you probably remember us writing this in the book. Your vision doesn't have to change the world. It just has to change your world.
Right.
You don't have to be Elon Musk. It just has to change the way you show up for yourself, for your children, for your spouse, and so on. Your world. And it's also about planting the seed. You know, your personal vision will become the seed of your legacy.
Right.
And when we plant a seed, it goes in soil. We can't see it sprout for usually a few days, maybe in a few weeks. And then suddenly it starts to sprout. And then we nurture it, right? We take care of the weeds. We keep the weeds clear. We keep it where the sun can be exposed. It gets water. And that could eventually grow into a massive tree. And that is the exact process of developing a vision. It may start out as a seed. Eventually, it will grow into a massive tree.
I just found the whole process to be, I mean, really great and healthy for me. And one that I think, you know, you make it a point of, you know, revisit this thing, have it in a place that you need, that you can look at it daily and regularly. And I think it's just something that it's going to be something that's going to work on. I feel like I'm going to be working on it for the next several months until I get it down to where I want it. And I feel like that's probably going to be true of everybody who does this, that you're just going to have to really continually work on it. And you have a little litmus test here at the end of this chapter, which I thought it asks two questions. And so folks, when you're doing your vision for yourself, I'm going to just read them to you so that Rob doesn't have to remember them. But I'm going to let you chime in where you want to. First of all, the first litmus test question is, does my vision give me direction in each role? That's the first one. And then the second one, is it meaningful to me? And I thought those were two really great questions. And then you had a series of other questions that kind of sparked some things at the end of the chapter. But I felt those two questions, does my vision give me direction in each role and is it meaningful to me? I thought that was really, because it made me go back through each role and ask those questions and literally go, okay, right, it does it. And I had to adjust it based on, you know, whatever the answer was I gave.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's perfect, Jay.
Yeah, I really did. I really enjoyed that. By the way, some of the questions they ask is, does it describe my physical shape, fitness, and desired health? Does it describe my emotional strength? Does it describe how I learn and gain knowledge? Does it describe my honesty and integrity? Does it describe how I take responsibility for my actions? Does it describe my faith? Interestingly enough, it sounds very much like the way I open up this program. this is the questions that you ask, which I find to be awesome as well. So chapter 5, the power of roles and goals, and chapter 6, I'm going to kind of put together on how to develop roles and goals. You know, one of the statistics you quote is that 10% of employees really just don't even know what they're doing with goals. And yet we demand goals of our people constantly. And I'm finding that there is really a disconnect here. Why is there a disconnect? How do we change that so that we can get goals right?
Well, first of all, it's the same thing as vision. It's a skill set. It was never taught in college. I went through, you know, business leadership, marketing, never taught. MBA, never taught. I didn't learn that skill set until I was in the fighter pilot world. And so it's just like the vision for most people. It's just a matter of saying, well, no one has actually ever showed me how to do it. Okay. And so it's really not anyone's fault, you know, to lay the blame on. It's just, it's a new skill set. And I've looked over the shoulder, Jay, of tens of thousands of managers. And 10% is right about spot on. You know, it's just a skill set that most haven't developed. And there's a huge difference between a goal that aligns us towards our vision, that is specific, that's measurable, and a New Year's resolution. And 85% of New Year's resolutions are broken 2 weeks into the year.
Right.
And that's because people will write down things like exercise 30 minutes every day. Well, they're completely setting themselves up for failure as written. And so you want to set your goals up in a way that they're inspiring to you, they're motivating, they're written in a way that sets you up for success and allows flexibility to miss a few days, maybe even a few weeks, and depending on what the goal is. And so this is an annual goal. You know, it's for this year, for the remainder of 2021, or if you're listening to this next year, it's 2022. What are your roles and goals for this year that matter most to you? And coming up with 1 to 4 goals per role on average. If you're just starting out, man, come up with 1 or 2. Just start. Little simple thing. What would move the needle for you? If you say, you know, I've set goals before in the past, then come up with 3 to 4 that you feel would be meaningful for you in each role. And, you know, to your question and your point, Jay, there's 2 words that you should never see, never. That's a pretty absolute word, never, in your roles and goals. And that is more and better, or any cousin of those. Make more money, be a better communicator, be a better manager, get more sales. No, that's not a goal. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a clear target. And so, you know, think like a fighter pilot on this. What's your clear objective that you're going out there to accomplish this year in that role? What would measure success for you that you look back on the end of the year and you say, that's how I would measure success in that role? And again, to your point, Jay, people are used to thinking about this professionally. They're like, oh yeah, I've done this. You know, now whether they've been written well or not, that's a different story. But people are used to thinking in the terms of goals professionally. As soon as you start asking about those other roles, that becomes a whole new animal. And for a lot of people, that can be challenging. You're like, wait a second, I've never even thought about what my goal would be as a husband.
Right.
Or as a father. And once you start to get focused and ask yourself on what those things look like, man, it's powerful. It's just as powerful starting on your vision to say, what specifically are you going to focus on this year that will move the needle in that area? And I'll make one caveat here to support what you said, Jay, and that is that personal role, you know, in this case, Jay's role or Rob's role. We subdivide that particular role into the 4 categories that you started the show with: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, ironically. And we invite people to come up with at least 1 or 2 goals for each of those little subcategories of that personal role this year. And so you started your show perfectly with this. What are your goals physically? Mentally, how many books are you going to read this year? How many events will you participate in? Emotionally, what are you going to do to take care of your emotional well-being, stress, you know, yoga or meditation or this physical therapy place that you're talking about, the cuffing and the dry needling, whatever. And then spiritually, what are your goals? So that's the power of roles and goals. And when you get those, both your vision and goals, we suggest either using our Do What Matters Most app as an extension on your desktop or getting a planner and looking at those every week as part of pre-week planning. So they're not something we just do and then stuff in a drawer. This literally guides your actions every week as you go into your week, so that when we use that term, do what matters most, that's exactly what we mean. You're doing what matters most, Q2, as you go through all, you know, all day and through the weeks. Now, that doesn't mean Q1 things aren't going to come up, right?
Right.
Q1 things will show up. And that's why we have to have flexibility within our goals and pre-week planning. But the whole point is that you sit down and identify what are your goals that matter most to you in each of your roles this year.
You know, I think one of the things, you know, and you talk about this, in that we probably don't do well when we tell our people to have a goal for the year. You know, it's salespeople, we say, come up with a sales goal, right, for the year. And it sounds simple, but it's really not simple. You know, because, you know, sometimes what we do is we compare with what we did last year and we try to think about what we need this year and then we make a goal, but we can't really do it that way. It really does have to be, you know, you use the SMART goal technique, right? Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time specific. And I understand all that really well, and I love that. It's a great model. I really do agree with it. But I think sometimes what we have to do is we have to sit back and go, am I doing this out of necessity, or am I doing this because this is truly a goal for me? Because I think we kind of lose, there's something in there that we lose sight of what the goals are. I don't know exactly what it is, but we surely do.
Can I give you an example of that, Jay?
Sure.
It's a good point. And that's why you really do need to take 1 or 2, maybe even 3 hours to really be pensive and thoughtful of what your roles and goals look like for this year. Because this is exactly it, Jay. The way you word it becomes the driver behind getting it done. I'll give you an example of one of mine right now. In the role of father is to take each one of my kids. I have 4 kids. One's in Brazil, so that's 3 girls now at home. It's to take each one of my kids on at least one big trip this year. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, I have these seminars and keynotes in different places in the world. So for example, I'm going to be doing a training with a company in Hawaii the first week in December. Well, I look at my roles and goals every week as part of my pre-week planning as I go through that. And I saw that on there in the role of father just 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, oh man, Lana has not gone a big trip with me this year. And you know, some of the other trips between now and then, it's not going to work. They're fast out and backs. She's always wanted to go to Hawaii. I'm like, this is the perfect one to make it happen. So just yesterday, I booked her ticket with me. We'll go Wednesday and then fly back Saturday night. And what's the chance that I'd be taking her with me had I not looked at that goal? Like probably zero. And so that goal was big enough that it gave me plenty of flexibility within the year. Yet what's the whole point of that goal? It's so that Lana and I have some special time together. Claire and I have some special memories together. And so by making time for that and having that level of focus, it's no longer about just checking the box. That's about making a meaningful memory that she'll have with her for the rest of her life. That's just one example of any, and here's one more. You take sales, for example. There are some critical things that people need to know about sales. You set your goal, but that then forces us to do what we've all heard before, and that is to work backwards towards accomplishing it. It's how a fighter pilot mission plans. So what's your goal? Sell $1 million in revenue by December 20th. Okay, great. What's your average close rate right now? You've got to know your close rate. What's the average sale amount? Right. How many people are you talking with? And then you can start to work back into the numbers of how many people you need to talk with, how to improve your close rate. And that comes back to the performance and productivity discussion.
Love it.
But it starts with identifying what matters most to you at the core level so that it doesn't just become a rogue item of checklists. It's about the journey.
Love that. I love that. We've been on an hour, brother.
Oh, amazing, huh?
It's just gone really fast. Listen, 30 seconds. Give folks a new direction based on your book. Just give them something that they could walk home with, just a little nugget that you
can give them. I'll tell you this, and I wish we would have had time to get to the other chapters of pre-week planning, because pre-week planning is the single most important habit. Pre-week planning can be done in alone without a vision and goals, and it's still extremely powerful. When it's done in conjunction with vision and goals, it becomes exponentially more powerful. How does a Pepsi executive reconnect with his son after 7 years of not talking with him and find out on the phone that he has 2 grandchildren who he didn't know existed? Pre-week planning. How does a lady lose 40 pounds over the course of 6 weeks? Just this happened. I just found out about this one 2 weeks ago. She lost 40 pounds over the course of 6 weeks. Came off 3 medications, started scheduling date nights with her husband again, time with each of her kids throughout the week, Q2. How does that sales team go from 17 to 34 sales? Vision and goals are powerful. It all comes down to pre-week planning, because ultimately the vision and the goals are just there as the direction, the destination. It's about pre-week planning that takes it down to the daily and weekly level. And I'll finish with this, Jay. It's pre-week planning that empowers us to schedule our priorities rather than prioritize our schedule. To do what matters most where it really matters, and that is at the daily and the weekly level. These actions each day, that's where it really counts. So it doesn't do us any good to have a goal if it doesn't translate into our daily and weekly actions. So pre-week planning, for those who read the book, please, 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 if you're only gonna read a couple chapters, start with pre-week planning and work backwards. But don't read through vision and goals and then stop and not get to pre-week planning, because for all of our coaching clients, for all the people we work with, over and over and over, we say that pre-week planning is the number one habit a leader can develop that will predict success. And that's a bold statement. And Jay, if you don't mind, could I share one last final thought in 10 seconds?
Sure.
I mentioned this earlier, but I want to reiterate this because it's available right now, this second. We have paper planners that people can use for the year, the weekly planner, to do pre-week planning in. It's a one-stop shop where you have your vision and goals. 2 weeks ago, we just released our Do What Matters Most extension, where people can now do pre-week planning on your laptop or on your home computer. And it's a one-stop shop because you have that extension that you can get from Google Chrome or Outlook. You put your vision and goals in there, and you can do your pre-week planning with that extension every week. So it gives people a tool to actually develop the habit in their lives, and it keeps it in front of you so that it connects the intention with the habit. So anyone who would like that, you can go to dowhatmattersmostapp.com and you can literally have it in front of you in the next 30 seconds. So dowhatmattersmostapp.com and you can do pre-planning and work on your vision and goals right now.
That's awesome. His name is Rob Schallenberger. The book's entitled Do What Matters Most. Folks, you know what? You're in control of two things all the time, your entire life, and that is your attitude and your effort. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. You are in control of that if you choose to be. Take control. Do it now. It's your attitude. It's your effort. Doesn't matter. Folks, I'll be back next week with another great guest, another great book. It's going to be another great show. And as I say to my friends in Spanish, hasta la vista.
This is your time to fly. A new direction, a brand new day. A new direction, things are gonna change. You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. The time has come, your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength. Don't worry anymore. A new direction. A new direction. Oh. A new direction. A brand new day. Go a different